Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to the Redemption Hill podcast. We are a community of people learning the way of Jesus to bless our city of Boise, Idaho, and beyond. Redemption Hill is a unique place. We are a collective of micro churches that do life together throughout the week and gather on Sundays to grow, worship, and celebrate what God is doing in our city. You are invited to join us Sundays at 9 a.m. at Discovery Church in Boise, where you can find the community you need in any season of your life. More details can be found at redemptionboise.org. Up next is the teaching segment from this week's Sunday gathering. Afterwards, stay tuned for more information on how to get connected at Redemption Hill.
Let's pray really quick and we'll dive in. Yeah, really fast. Just because I'm feeling the pressure of the music stopping and running behind, you know. All right, Lord, you are with us today. We are dependent on you for the things that we hope to see in our world and in our lives. And you're here offering us rest, Lord. We're busy people. We're overwhelmed. We have a lot on our minds. And we just ask you to speak in a way where we can hear your voice, slow our hearts down so that we can receive what you have for us today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, so a little recap. We're in week 3 of a series called Reset. Last week, Cindy did a great job talking about abiding and being with Jesus. And really this whole series is about slowing down and listening to the Holy Spirit. We're kind of reflecting on the time between Easter and Pentecost and the anticipation and waiting that the disciples felt, but also, maybe even more importantly, the dependence on the Holy Spirit. They were aware that they could do nothing on their own. And we want to feel that and acknowledge that as a community as well. So we're waiting and asking God to reset in our lives whatever it is that he needs to reset. So our service today is part of that larger series and an invitation to maybe quit something, maybe rest, maybe slow down, to be with Jesus and acknowledge our dependence in this moment on the Holy Spirit. The text I'm teaching from is Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, the text that Ike so eloquently read earlier. Honestly, I was like, I've read this text a lot this week in preparing for the sermon. I was like, man, that was the best time I've heard it all week. It was so good. And this is one of those Jesus quotes that is often overlooked because it's so well-traveled. We see it on Hobby Lobby pictures in our friends' bathrooms, and we just forget what it really means. We forget what Jesus is saying. And so my approach today is really, really simple. I want to allow the invitation of Jesus to speak for itself. Very simply, just to let Jesus speak this morning. I'd love to just be the intro guy. The guy who comes up and is like, hi, my name is Andrew. I'm on staff here at Redemption Hill. We have a guest speaker. His name is Jesus of Nazareth. He's a traveling rabbi. Maybe you've heard of him. And then just walk off the stage and let Jesus do his thing. I can't do that. But what I can do and what we can all do is invite the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Because I can read the words of Jesus or I can read them on a Hobby Lobby picture and miss the power. But when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, it transforms us. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to let the Holy Spirit speak to us through this scripture. I'm going to do my best to not muddy the waters. You guys ever heard that phrase, muddying of the waters? My dad used to say that all the time growing up. He'd say, don't muddy the waters, son. Don't get involved and make something that's clear less clear than it originally was. And so I'm going to do my best, Dad, to not muddy the waters and just let Jesus speak this morning. So Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, we're going to read it in the New Living Translation. Then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Jesus begins with an invitation. Come to me. Immediately, right off the bat, if you think about it, this is pretty bold. The people who are listening to Jesus have all kinds of problems. Illness, financial stress, they're marginalized by the political and religious structures of their day. They're addicted, they're possessed, they're depressed. They're caught up in lifestyles that are harmful to themselves and to the people that they love. And yet Jesus says, come to me, I am what you need. We live in a world where we're constantly inundated with the messages of brands, companies, and multinational corporations telling us that they have the solutions to our problems and the world's problems. Honestly, I was thinking about it preparing this week. I can't even read the Bible on my laptop without seven different flashing ads in different corners of the screen telling me to buy what they're selling. Churches and religious organizations, like the websites that host Bibles, do the same exact thing. We peddle ourselves. We peddle our programs. Sometimes we even try to package and peddle Jesus himself. But let's let Jesus continue to speak for himself. He goes on to say, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. So who is the invitation for? As I was preparing, I began to think of many of you. I was imagining your faces and your lives. And as a pastor, sometimes I get to share in your stories and your journeys and your struggles. And as I closed my eyes and thought of us and my friends, our society, this description to me felt like it's for all of us, right? Who isn't weary? Who doesn't carry heavy burdens? So many people I know, so many of my friends are worn out, burnt out. They have maxed out schedules. They're lacking a sense of closeness with God, a shallow spirituality. There's no time for relationship with the divine. They're overwhelmed by what is required of them, of their spouses, their kids, and their parents. Expectations are high. There's work performance, school performance, tests, scholarship applications, our salary, our boss's approval, people's approval, the list just goes on and on and on. This invitation to those who are weary and carry heavy burdens, he's saying it's for all of us. Not just all of us in this room, but for everyone. No one avoids this category of people. And what does Jesus promise us? What is it that he has that nobody else can actually give? It's rest. Real rest, not the fake rest that so many of us are addicted to. More on that later. Does Jesus have your attention yet? Because he should. This rest is what we're really longing for. And deep down, we all know it. Let's play a little game. Hey, how you doing? How do you respond? What's the response that you normally get when you ask somebody how they're doing? Pretty good. Busy, right? Busy is always in there. Even if we like manipulate the words because we don't want to say that we're busy, you know, we're so tired of saying it, we just find new ways of saying that we're really busy. We are a weary and overburdened society. We're tired, and yet we're constantly telling ourselves lies like, things will slow down soon. Next week, next month, once I finish school, next year, I'll rest when I die, right? I can handle it. This is normal. There's no other way. This is just how life has to be. Or we buy the lie of greener pastures. If only I had this job or lived in this house, if only my income was this amount, life would be easier and I could get some rest. Back to Jesus' invitation. Then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. You guys have heard of a yoke before? It's not this kind of yoke. It's a very different yoke. Mainly, I just wanted to use AI to create a photo. I've never done that before, so there it is. It's not this kind of yoke. It is a different kind of yoke. This is a picture I found on the internet of a modern day cattle carrying a yoke that was handmade. When I looked up, I clicked on this website to read about this yoke, and what it told me about this yoke is this is a handmade yoke that's put on these oxen, and they use it to carry heavy burdens, right? To plow fields, to carry soil, to carry lumber. And even in this case, these cattle actually plow snowy driveways with this yoke. Can you imagine like busting out the cows just to plow your driveway during the winter? A yoke in Jesus' day, though, was a familiar visual for people, but also it was a familiar reference to a rabbi's teachings, or more specifically, their interpretation of the Torah. When Jesus uses this reference, talking about his teachings, he's doing it in a way that is comparative. He's saying, my yoke is light and easy. Other yokes, the yokes of the religious teachers of the day, of the world, of Rome, not so much. Hard, grueling work is what is associated with a yoke, but Jesus says that his yoke is light and easy. According to Dane Ortlund, the author of Gentle and Lowly, Jesus is almost ironically saying that his yoke is a non-yoke. So a comparison. Jesus, as we will continue to read, is humble and gentle, and his yoke is light and easy, and it leads to rest. Other yokes are heavy and burdensome, and the people handing out these yokes are harsh, cruel, and want to get out of you or us everything that they can. We've already talked about the prevalence of advertisements that are in our face day after day, from Facebook ads to social media, billboards, the list goes on. The problem is that we're clicking, we're buying. We're carrying not just one heavy yoke that the world offers, but dozens of them. The yoke of the American dream, upward mobility, the perfect curated life as presented to us on Instagram. The yoke of approval, the yoke of performance, the yoke of excellence. Self-importance, independence, success, the one that we often buy into, the ever-growing yoke of more and more, even the yoke of entertainment. We're looking for the good life that Jesus promises us in yokes that are advertised on our Instagram feeds, but yet we feel too busy or too overwhelmed to take on Jesus's yoke, Jesus's non-yoke, if you will. We long for peace, joy, contentment, and rest, but we're looking for it in another product. Do you ever make deals with your siblings? Did you ever do that growing up? Yeah, I made deals with my younger sister. She's a couple years younger than me. Foolish mistake. I'm sure her retelling of these stories would be very different, but I remember being probably about 8 years old, 9 years old, and making a deal with my little sister that I would play Barbies with her for 1 hour if she would then play baseball with me in the front yard. Yet strangely, after that first hour, she would always get a migraine. You guys know what I'm talking about? Those kind of deals? Now, when she tells these stories, it was flipped, but it's not true. These yokes that the world offers, the advertisements, they're like my 8-year-old sister. When it comes time to follow through on their promises, they're nowhere to be found. They're out. They dip out. They can't produce. The yokes, my friends, that we are consistently and repeatedly buying are failing all of us. They're sucking the life out of our souls, and for some reason, we just keep coming back for more. In contrast to the people designing our ads and selling us all these different yokes, Jesus says, as we already mentioned, that he is gentle and humble. And this, my friends, is divine revelation. It is the piece of this passage that we so often miss. This is the only passage in all of Scripture that I'm aware of where Jesus says, this is what I'm like. This is my temperament. This is what it's like to be with me and to relate to me. There are other places where Jesus is described as powerful or sinless or a great teacher or divine, but this is the only place where Jesus describes himself in his own nature and character. Thomas Goodwin, a Puritan preacher, says that we are apt to think that because Jesus is so holy, he therefore is of a severe and sour disposition against sinners and not able to bear them. No, he says, I am humble. Gentleness is my nature and my temper. When people see Jesus in his divine form throughout the scriptures, they literally crumble before him in fear and awe and reverence, and rightfully so. But the gentle and lowly Savior says, "Don't be afraid, it's me." Now, most of us don't really have a problem acknowledging the love and gentleness of Jesus towards others. Theologically, we agree. But when it comes to our own lives, we have a hard time making space for this kind of interaction or time with Jesus. We're just too busy with our other yokes. This week, I went over to my wife and I and my kids, kind of on short notice, went over to my parents' house. And let me tell you, going over to my parents' house is so nice. I have two little kids, almost four and one who just turned two. And as many of you know, it's pretty hands-on at that stage, right? It can be a little overwhelming and exhausting, parenting two kids. But I have a really great relationship with my parents. I love spending time with them. And when I'm at their house, there's something about just being there where I can stop being a dad for just a little bit. Like my parents will like watch the kids, they'll pull out the little basket of toys, you know, that they have in the closet, and the kids will play, and my parents are engaging with them. And I can go from being dad to just being a son for a little bit. And it's so nice. I always raid the pantry. I mean, I go hard. My mom has snacks like crazy. And I'm convinced that those snacks are there just for me. I'm pretty sure they don't eat them. I think they're just for me. There's drinks in the fridge, and I can just go raid the kitchen. I can go sit on the couch. Oftentimes when I go over there, you know, my parents will cook a meal, and my mom's a great cook. My dad will fire up the Traeger, and he has the meats mastered. And it's so nice to like not have to, and especially for my wife, to not have to do dinner and set up and think about cleanup and bedtime. We can just go and just relax. Sometimes when I drop my kids off and my mom is watching them, I'll stay. Like, I need to get to work, but I'll, like, stay and just sit and talk with my mom for, like, half an hour. Like, catch her up on my life and what's hard. I'll get advice from my dad when I'm over there. And sometimes, on the really special moments, I'll just curl up on the couch and take a nap at my parents' house, even while my kids are playing. I could never take a nap at my house. It feels impossible, but something about my parents' house makes me feel like I can take a nap. They don't solve all my problems or fix everything in my life, but life feels a little bit lighter when I'm there. Their home is a safe haven for me. And no matter what your relationship is like with your mom or your dad, this sort of relationship is available to each of us in Jesus. He has an open pantry, a warm meal, a hot cup of coffee, long conversations, an invitation to just take a nap on his couch. While all the things that stress us out, all our problems still exist most of the time, in his presence, we can find rest. Jesus is not offering us a product with 10 easy monthly payments. He's offering us himself. In the moments of my life of clarity, which are often few and far between, if I'm honest, when I'm aware of this, I can't help but like feel this building up in me, this question of, what are we doing? Like, why do I keep looking for rest and satisfaction and hope in these empty promises, these yokes that I know are burdensome and have only worn me out, when I have an invitation from Jesus to just be with him? Why do we chase lies believing that rest is found in an approaching date on a calendar or a Netflix binge or a beer in my hand at the end of the day? Why do we chase peace in the false hope of perfection or a future level of success? We already have it. Just go to dad's house. Be with Jesus. We already know that nothing else works. That much is obvious. And that includes working for him, by the way. As a pastor and somebody who spent my life in a lot of in ministry for a lot of my life, if I'm honest, it's really easy to just lock in and focus on working for Jesus and not work with Jesus. The two are very, very different things. And even sometimes sermons like this, because I'm like very missionally driven, sermons and about verses like this, even when I just read a verse like this, I feel like there's a little bit of a catch. Bold statements of Jesus' eager love for me sound to me sometimes, and sometimes to some of you as well, like false teaching. Samuel James, an author, and he was doing a review of Gentle and Lowly, a book that I quoted earlier, says this. He says, I submit that if the idea of reckoning with God's love makes us nervous, it is not the reckoning that's wrong, but us. While most of us here at Redemption Hill likely have little problem acknowledging the depth and breadth of God's love in our theology, practically, many of us are living as though we're atheists. What difference does it make if you believe that he offers you a light and easy burden, but you're wearing heavy ones instead? What difference does it make if my parents live in town, but I'm just too busy to go to their house? I never raid their pantry. I never share their meals. I never have conversation with them. When it comes down to it, I nap on their couch as much as someone who's never met them. In this case, when we live this way, there is no difference between the Christian and their critic. James goes on to say in his review that when our intuitions say that the promises and mercies of Christ are the whipped cream and the cherry on top, but it's our obligations and performance and work that are the real entree, we end each day feeling little else but exhaustion. He goes on to talk about how this exhaustion becomes addictive. Do you guys feel that? We keep running to the same things over and over and over. So here's what we're going to do. Enough muddying of the waters. Let's listen to what Jesus has to say. We're going to do a little practice here. I'll invite the band to go ahead and come up. And we're going to do a practice that we've done here a couple times before. To many of you, it may feel unfamiliar, but it's called Lectio Divina. And it's an ancient practice of praying through the scriptures and allowing God to simply speak to us through his word. So you can go ahead and get comfortable in your chair, sit back, take a few deep breaths. It might feel a little uncomfortable and new to you, but just do your best to allow God to speak to you through this text. I recommend closing your eyes. I'll have the words on the screen for those of you that are visual learners, but it's best practice with your eyes closed, just listening to the Father. So I'm going to read through the passage four times, and each time I'm going to provide you with some instruction on how to listen to the text or how to pray. And then after each reading, there'll be about 60 seconds of space to just sit in that. So we'll begin with about 60 seconds of silence, and then I'll dive into the first reading. This first time I read it, I want you to do your best to let go of any preconceived ideas that you have about the text, like we already mentioned. Maybe even my sermon. Just let it go and try to listen to it like you're hearing it for the very first time. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." can sit with these words in silence for just a moment. Second reading, I want you to pay attention and to listen for a word or phrase that stands out to you. Maybe it's a word or phrase that the Lord highlights for you specifically. And then I just want you to hold that phrase after the reading, and if you feel like it, I would encourage it, whisper it to someone sitting next to you with no explanation, just that word or phrase that stood out to you. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." Want now, you can share that word or phrase with no other explanation with someone sitting next to you. As I read the text this third time, I'm going to read it in a different translation. I want you to do your best to use your imagination. I know that's harder for some of us than others. We're all wired differently, and that's okay. But if you can, I want you to imagine you're with Jesus. Maybe you're walking together. Maybe you're sitting next to him. Allow and invite the Holy Spirit to use your imagination. Jesus speaks this invitation to you directly. Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. How did that feel? If there was a word that maybe describes how that felt for you, again, I would encourage you or invite you to share that with someone sitting next to you. Final reading and the silence that follows, I want you to pay attention for a specific invitation just for you from the Holy Spirit. Maybe it's an invitation to abandon a specific yoke. Maybe it's to quit something, slow down, I don't know. But listen for his voice throughout this final reading. And as we sit in silence for just a moment. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Specific invitation that you felt to share that today with somebody before you leave. Don't let it dissipate without speaking it out. Come to me, all you who are tired and carry heavy burdens. This bread is my body broken for you. Eat. This wine is my blood poured out for you. Drink. Jesus isn't selling us anything. He's offering us himself. Come and take communion now as we worship together.
Thanks again for listening. Make sure to subscribe to get the weekly episodes in your podcast feed. You can find out more on how to get connected with Redemption Hill at redemptionboise.org/connection, where you can fill out the Connect card and start your journey today. For regular encouragement throughout the week, follow us on Instagram at Redemption Boise. We are so glad you're here and are excited to accompany you in your story with God. We hope to see you soon.